Un primero de mayo.
Hello and welcome to the Pick and Pop Podcast. I am your host, Sam Dusenberry. Follow me on Twitter at TheSamD, that's TheSamD. You're listening on SoundCloud.com/ShieldFreeSports. The Pick and Pop Podcast is now on iTunes. Search Pick and Pop. No and. Pick and Pop. ShieldFreeSports.com. Going under a little reconstruction. We'll be relaunching soon, closer to when training camps get going and the NBA season is up and running. But ShieldFreeSports.com will be the place where this show will be posted up, as well as my blog entries, editorials, vines, and such. Well, what's going on? It's been a while. Still reveling in that Cavs championship, though. Oh, it's glorious. It's glorious. Every day on Twitter, there's tweets reminding you that the Dubs blew a 3-1 lead, including losing 2 out of 3 at the crib, and LeBron going 41-41 triple-double, and Kyrie hitting that 3 in Steph's eye, and Klay standing looking bewildered as Steph threw a behind-the-back pass with his non-shooting left hand in the closing moments. And then, oh yeah, by the way, Kevin Love locked down the 2-time back-to-back this year unanimous MVP in the clutch. So besides all that, there's a lot going on. NBA free agency has finally slowed down. I didn't want to jump in and do a show because there was a lot of moving parts during the 2-week span of free agency. So I wanted to wait till the dust settled. We kind of get an idea of who is going where. There's not a lot of big name guys out there. Your boy JR is still out there. I thought JR was going to cash in, turn this moment and flip it, either from more money from the Cavs because he's been taking the pay cut the last 2 years. I thought he was going to cash out with the Cavs, or maybe somebody was going to blow him out the water and give him Tyler Johnson money. Neither has happened. The Cavs haven't really expressed heavy interest in bringing JR back, not at his price anyway, and no other team has blown him out the water with no Tyler Johnson money. And if you don't know what Tyler Johnson money is, that's 50 mil, bruh. JR thought, hey, Tyler Johnson getting 50 mil, I gotta get at least that or in that neighborhood. Maybe a little bit less, maybe a little bit more, but I need to be in that Tyler Johnson neighborhood. Nobody else seems to agree with JR. I think he'll firmly be back in Cleveland, but not at the, I mean, you see what dudes are getting. Deion Wade is only getting 3 mil out here. It's hard out here. With all the money that's been thrown, if you can't get a lot of bread, that says a lot. I mean, Brandon Jennings, 5 mil. Deion Wade is 3 mil. That has to say a lot about what the teams are thinking about you. When your boy Deli is getting, you know, 10 mil a year, 9, 10 mil a year to start in Milwaukee. I mean, that's crazy, man. Deli getting 9 mil. Brandon Jennings only getting 5. Deion only getting 3. And JR getting nothing right now. Maybe has to play for the minimum. Crazy. So now that the dust has really settled, now that we know who went where, what's the landscape? Who has improved? Who has made the jump into that? We're going to make the playoffs, but now we're going to be a contender. Who has made that jump? You think it's the Celtics? Everybody loves the Celtics. Got Al Horford. Brought in Tom Brady to help get Kevin Durant. Didn't work. Shill move on their part. But at least they got Al Horford, right? So now they have a legit number one option, right? I mean, you got the little high-low game. Isaiah and now Al Horford. Should be a great two-man game, right? Still the Celtics, bro. Still the Celtics. They still going to be, you know, anywhere from that 2-5 range in the East. and then not touching Cleveland. You know, they had all these first round picks. What is it? Three first round picks. Wanted to flip it for something. Ended up flipping it for nothing and drafting three guys. And he had the number 1-3 pick. They got Jaylen Brown. I don't really see that much there. He's damn sure not going to give you a lot this year. Because you're bringing Al Horford. You're trying to win now, right? You're not bringing in Al Horford for 3 years from now. When, you know, Jaylen Brown and whoever else they drafted are supposed to be flourishing. You have a roster that's in the range of 26 to 31. That means you're in the guys' primes. In different levels of guys' primes. So you're trying to win now. So you go bring in Al Horford. One of those first round picks, or two of those, or damn near three if you have to, should have been flipped for a veteran. Couldn't do it, didn't want to do it, whatever the case may be. They stood pat, and now they got three rookies. But they're still hanging on to that net pick for next year. Which should be, and we'll get into the Nets later. Because I want to play, do you know who this guy is on the Nets roster? We will play that game later. Because that net pick is looking like a gold mine. That net pick will not only be a lottery pick, but damn sure could be a top three pick, if not number one overall, depending on how this next upcoming season goes. So, Celtics, to me, playoff contender, not a championship contender. Got the Atlanta Hawks. Lost Al Horford. Brought in Dwight. Dwight comes home. Dwight, new number, new everything. Possibly new baby mama. We don't know about that yet. But with him being home in the A, it should be nothing but a matter of time before Dwight adds to his list of baby mamas. But Dwight Howard, what does he have left? I still think he has a lot left. I'm not one of these guys that likes to jump on Dwight and trash Dwight. I think Dwight still has a lot of useful years left in him. The problem with the Hawks is they're mediocre everywhere else. So they got Jeff Teague up out of there, right? Jeff Teague, you know, they realized he's not the answer at point. So they shipped him up out of there. So now it's Schroeder. Dennis Schroeder, the German kid with the bad haircut. Yeah, he's going to be now the starter for the Hawks. What's he going to give you? More up-tempo, bad shooter, pushes the pace, condition kick. He's a better guy to feed a guy like Dwight than Jeff Teague. Jeff Teague's more of a shoot first, score first, and I'll throw a couple of dimes if I have to type point guard. Schroeder's more of a pure point guard. Not all the way pure. He's not on Rondo level, but he's close. So he'll feed the beast. You know, I think Dwight's going to give you a double-double. Dwight will give you, especially in the East. Again, it's the East. So he's going from the West, where the West runs differently. There wasn't that many traditional bigs in the West. You had your Timmys, and we'll get to him retiring. It wasn't a lot of bigs that he had to go through in the West. It was a weird thing. It was a bunch of stretch guys. He had to guard guys like Dirk, guard guys like Anthony Davis, guys that would push him out to the perimeter and expose him. Don't have too many of those in the East. Who's the best stretch four in the East? You name him? I'll wait. Probably Chris Bosh. And we don't even know if he's going to play. So most of the teams in the Eastern Conference have traditional centers. So you can't tell me Dwight can't still eat up a traditional center. Dwight's still going to get buckets. So Dwight, to me, in the Eastern Conference, playing the predominant number amount of games against Eastern Conference centers, he's going to get buckets. So I look for a little bit of a resurgence from Dwight in the A. But outside of that, they still got Paul Millsap. I've never been that high on him. It's just not a lot there for Atlanta. They'll win, you know, 48 to 53-ish game. They'll win that amount. They'll get those numbers. But to me, they're still playoff contender, not a championship contender. What about the Bulls? You know, I am full disclosure. I am, was brought up, was raised, was a lifelong Bulls fan. Now, my fandom has diminished over the years as I've gotten numerous reality checks, but that goes across all sports, but more so in basketball. When you become a Bulls fan because of Jordan, watch Jordan do everything that he does, six chips, then disappear, and then get relegated with the likes of Marcus Fizer, Pete Myers, Ron Artest, Jay Williams, Eddie Curry, Tyson Chandler. Did I say Marcus Fizer yet? I'm not even sure. These were the guys that I had post-Jordan. These were the guys that I had to invest my fandom into, and they routinely made me look bad. Made me look bad out here in these streets, pumping them up. Made me look bad, wasting hours watching games, going online, reading box scores, reading articles. Wasted time. I said, never again. Then the Bulls got D. Rose. One of the luckiest bounces of the ping pong balls ever. Maybe it was fixed. We won't get into that today. But the Bulls finally got their savior, hometown savior. Hello, Cleveland. And got the number one pick in the draft, and he took the hometown kid, Derrick Rose. And then I got my interest got piqued again. Then I started, the fires got stoked again, because I thought, maybe, just maybe, they're back in the mix. And they were. And then first round against Philly happened, and it's been downhill back into the doldrums of my fandom ever since. But the Bulls moved on from Derrick Rose, got him out of there. Joakim Noah, heart and soul of the organization, of the fan base, of the team, got him out of there. And now they bring in another Chicago kid. They bring in another point guard. And now they're building a team around Jimmy Buckets. D. Wade, introduced yesterday to the Chicago media, handled it like a true pro. 45 minutes of him ducking and dodging leadership questions, bowing down to Jimmy, bowing down to Gabby as well, bowing down to everybody, deflecting. Rajon Rondo, Dwayne Wade, Jimmy Butler. Big three, right? In certain aspects, yes, it's a big three. Big three personalities, big three egos, big three names in NBA circles. Are they going to be a big three in the sense of getting deep into the playoffs? Maybe challenging for the Eastern Conference Finals, if not the NBA Finals? Hell nah, bro. Hell nah. Hell nah. This team, I don't even think in 2K, unless you ingest the settings and the sliders, I don't think this team even in 2K could get a championship. So how am I supposed to stoke the fires of my fandom and get hyped over this team? Now, I love Rondo. That I am an unabashed Rondo lover. I love a pure point guard. That's the way it's supposed to be played. His detractors will tell you he gets empty assists. He will pass up open shots for himself to thread the needle with a bounce pass to get a tough assist. That means nothing to me. Because when you're a point guard, you're supposed to generate points through your play. Now it's turned into a scoring guard in that position now. The league has transitioned from pure point guards to now scoring guards who can pass. I like my point guards passing to get the points, and then off of their ability to pass, now they can get buckets. Call it old school, call it whatever you want. That's how I think that position is supposed to be played. For Rondo to succeed, though, he needs guys to get buckets and easy ones. When's the last time Jimmy Butler's had an easy bucket? When's the last time he's seen Dean Wade get an easy bucket? They're tough, ISO possession players. Now, Wade, obviously, during that Heat run with LeBron, played off the ball. Played well off the ball. But that 06 Wade will never die out. That 06 Wade, when Wade was arguably top three in the league, that guy was ball dominant and was in charge. And he got back to that late in the year last year, especially when Bosch went down. So I think that's the way we're going to see in Chicago. And it's going to be up to Rondo, who's ball dominant, you know, squared. It's going to be up to Rondo to give Wade enough chances to be that guy to keep him happy. But the Bulls ain't going nowhere, bro. I mean, if they get to the second round, the fan in me will be pleased. If they get dropped in the first round, I would not be surprised. That team could be anywhere from a 2-6 seed. It could go very good, and it could go very bad just as easily. I mean, what about the Rockets? Rockets out here got Dwight up out of there. Dwight's gone. New coach, new regime, new system, Mike D'Antoni. And the biggest acquisition was getting Ryan Anderson. Now, Ryan Anderson chucks it. He's a good shooter. He is a stretch four. What's that going to do for James Harden? It'll create a little bit more space. It has more shooters out there. But essentially, what is that going to do to move this team from a team that was in the Western Conference Finals 2 years ago to get them back to that point? Like, what's that move? What's Ryan Anderson going to do to get them back to where they were 2 seasons ago? Not much to me. I mean, they should be in the playoffs just because you got James Harden. They should be in the playoffs. But as far as going deep, nothing. I don't see it. Spurs bring in Pau Gasol. Timmy retires. We'll get to that. I don't see anything there. I think the Spurs window, when Tim got shook and saw Durant go to the Dubs, he said, nah, bro, I'm out. I'm going to go back to the Virgin Islands and post. And that's exactly what he did. So if Timmy's saying we don't got enough, I'm going to go ahead and co-sign and believe that the Spurs don't have enough. They could bring in Pau Gasol. They could bring in all the retreads that they want, the retread bigs. But that's not going to do it in the West, bro. Okay, see, they're relevant. We spoke on that on the last pod. KD leaving has made. Now, Russ will be a monster, and Russ will go out and put out 2K MVP-type numbers, but that team ain't going nowhere. Now, a sneaky pick, besides the T-Wolves in the West, because everybody, like, this is the year the T-Wolves make the jump, and that may be possible, but they're not challenging the Dubs, right? I mean, we're not going that nuts on Wiggins and Cat, right? We're not going that far on Cat and Wiggins that we're here to say with Chris Dunn coming off the bench that they're now ready to challenge the Dubs, right? Okay. Plus, with Thibodeau, I'm worried about A. Wiggins' knees. So I'm going to resign any opinion that I have until I watch them for a couple of months because I'm going to see the minutes that Thibodeau's going to put on A. Wiggins. I'm telling you right now, A. Wiggins needs to be on that phone ASAP to Luol Deng and Jimmy Butler. What prep do I need to do now? How long do I need to be in the ice tub in the off season to prep my knees for what Tibbs is going to do to me? That's what A. Wiggins needs to be doing. He's dropping some new kicks. Those are hit or miss. He needs to be worried about his knees, bruh, because he's about to be in that ice tub all year round dealing with Tibbs. But a team that people are really, like, trying to pump up on the low are the Pacers. New coach, Nick McMillan, got Vogel up out of there, chased him down to Orlando. The Pacers. So, George Hill gone, Jeff Teague in. You heard what I had to say about Teague earlier. Not big on Teague. But they got Paul George. And they got that rook, Miles Turner. You know, Turner grew a lot during the season and even in the playoffs. So I think Turner's a guy that they took as a lottery pick. And he's somebody where he has that stretch ability. He's not necessarily a three-point shooter, but he can at least hit a 15, 16 to 17-foot shooter. He can hit that jump. He can hit the baseline, Jay. He can take it to the top of the key and do some work. But the main thing is he's athletic, he's energetic, and he can run up and down the floor, and he attacks the glass. So now you got Paul George, who showed you ad nauseum especially against that series, the first round series against Toronto, that he's still the man. He's still a beast. He's still arguably, in my opinion, top five two-way player in the league. And so you could put him as top 10 overall in the league. So Paul George, if you had that kind of player, you don't need to surround him with too much more, right? Because he could do a lot on his own, right? So you got Jeff Teague, who could get buckets, who could score. He ain't going to pass it, but he's going to score it. Now you got Turner, who can create his own shot off rebounds. He could run the floor. He could be athletic. He could face up. He could do a lot of good things. So the Pacers now have made that sexy pick in terms of like the T-Wolves in the West, in the East, the basketball experts, the basketball pundits, the basketball nerds will tell you, Pacers, man, look out for them next year. My response to that is, look out for them to do what? What, they're going to beat the Cavs? They're going to beat LeBron 4 out of 7? They couldn't beat the Raptors. If you can't beat the Raptors, you damn sure can't beat the Cavs. So, again, Paul George is Paul George. I don't see any improvement. I think he's peaked in terms of his ability. He hasn't peaked in his career in terms of production, but in terms of what he can do on a basketball court, I think he has peaked at his ability. So he's there. Miles Turner's second year in the league, you would think he'd be more adjusted. No sophomore slump. He'll do his thing and improve on the numbers that he put up last year. Jeff Teague, he's home. You would think he'd be more comfortable. He'll have a lot to show and prove. He should be able to get off and get buckets, because that's all Paul George really needs is another dependable score. He did not have that last year. He gave the ball to George Hill. He gave the ball to Monte Ellis. And all they did was rush, pump fake, and pass it right back to Paul George. So now, Jeff Teague, Paul George kicks that ball to Jeff Teague. Jeff Teague's putting it up. Now that the confidence that Miles Turner has shown, Paul George throws that ball on the block, Turner's trying to do something with it. Takes pressure off Paul George. Pacers, better, higher seed playoff contender, championship contender, no chance. So all that goes to say what? Cavs dubs 3, right? Cavs dubs 3. Nobody has done anything. With all the hype, with all the articles, with all the sites pumping out materials, stuff for clicks, with all the ESPN break-ins doing breaking news segments, nobody has done anything to stop any of us from saying it's going to be Cavs dubs again, right? In June, we're going to be doing it all over again. You know, winner take all, best 2 out of 3 now. Dubs got him in 14, asterisk. Cleveland got him in 15. The biggest choke job in the history of the NBA Finals. And now we're going to do it again in 2016. Winner take all. I mean, nobody's done. I mean, once the Dubs got Durant, that sealed up the West. And nobody, only the Celtics could have made that big of a jump, but they would have had to not only gut the roster that they had, but also give up those picks. They could have brought in 2 guys to combat the Cavs. They could have brought in 2 guys and signed a third. That's why they went for Durant, because they could bring in Durant and Horford. That, to me, would have not been enough. Maybe Durant and Dwight? Maybe? To at least contend. You want to contend against the Cavs. There wasn't too many guys outside of getting Durant and another guy. Maybe Miami, if they could have got Durant to South Beach and had Durant and Whiteside with Wade, that could contend with the Cavs in the East, right? But the Celtics, they needed to gut their roster and give up those lottery picks. And they weren't trying to do that. So now you're bringing out Horford and you're being champion as this is a major thing. Now, it's a major thing that the Celtics got a free agent to go to Boston. And that's a conversation for another day. But if you look at the history of the Boston Celtics, they don't get too many high-profile NBA players to go to Boston, Massachusetts, which has a history of certain things that we won't get into this podcast. But if you look It doesn't take too much to do a Google search of the Boston Celtics free agent history and to see there's only certain type of caliber players that are willing to go to Boston. So, who has done anything? Who has done enough? Nobody. The Spurs fell off. Once Duncan said, nah, I'm out. I'm going back to the islands. That was it for them, right? Once Durant said, I'm going to the Bay Area, I'm going to go play with Steph, Clay, and Draymond, that effectively closed the window of OKC. And the Rockets hired Mike D'Antoni. To me, that closed the window, if the window was even open. So there's nobody in the West. I mean, yeah, Minnesota's coming, but they ain't coming this year. Who else is out there? Nobody has done enough. And I know you're wondering, there's one team I haven't talked about. There's one team that's made a lot of moves that I haven't talked about. And you want to know why? It's because I've got this team's fan base texting me all the time about what this team's going to do. I've got this team's fan base in my tweets, in my mentions, in my phone texting me about what this team is going to do this year to shock the world. On the heels of Ali being put 6 feet deep facing east, this team is going to shock the world. Yes, I'm talking about the Knicks. Yes, I am talking about Knicks fans being in my mentions, being texting me on the phone, telling me how they're going to surprise everyone. They don't see us coming. We're going to win the chip. LeBron can't see us. That's what I'm hearing. And this should be, you know, example number 5,212, why I hate Knicks fans. You've got D-Rose, Joakim Noah, Porzingis, Melo, Courtney Lee. And you telling me that's the lineup that's going to stop LeBron. That's the lineup that's going to beat LeBron and Kyrie 4 times out of 7. I mean, D-Rose compared himself to the Dubs. I mean, you talk about drinking the Kool-Aid fast. I mean, he came here. He thinks he's 2011 D-Rose. He thinks he's 2010, 2011 MVP D-Rose. He's really feeling himself. I mean, it's amazing, the Kool-Aid. It's amazing, the hyperbole. The Knicks are a super team. The Knicks are a super team similar to what Golden State has done. That's what Rose, you know, when Adam Silver came out and said, you know, he's against super teams. Rose said, yeah, Adam Silver, you know, doesn't like what we, as in the Knicks, in Golden State have done. We, as in the Knicks. Bringing in a point guard with a history of chronic knee illness. Bringing in a center who has a bad back, a bad shoulder, and plantar fasciitis only 18 months ago. And then bringing in a shooting guard who's only making this amount of money because of the CBA deal that we're in right now. But they got Porzingis, though. They got World Star. Latvian World Star, though. They got my man, my Melo Carmelo, out here trying to be MLK and Malcolm X wearing a Knick jersey. Y'all do realize the best the Knicks could do is third in the East. Third. Because quite frankly, I don't know if that team is better than a combination of either Chicago, Toronto, or the Pacers. Hell, I don't know if the Knicks are better than the Celtics. I mean, frankly, right? Look, there's only 8 seeds, right? We know this. So let's go through it. Are the Knicks better than the Cavs? No. Are the Knicks better than the Bulls? My opinion, no. Are the Knicks better than the Hawks? Arguably. I could lean either way. But let's just, for the sake of being fun, no. Are the Knicks better than the Pacers? To me, no. It's already four. So that makes the Knicks at least a five seed, right? Right. Orlando. Gonna be better with Serge Ibaka, right? They got Oladipo out of there, who I was never a fan of. Rebuilding on the fly. Ibaka. Bismack is out there. Aaron Gordon. Evan Fournier. Green light to shoot whenever he wants. Orlando will be in the mix for a playoff spot. It's five teams, Knicks fans. Milwaukee. We talked about them signing Dele. I don't understand it, but they did it anyway. But they still got Giannis. They still got the Greek Freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo. They still got Greg Monroe. They still got Jabari Parker. That's enough to make the playoffs in the East. Miami. Yeah, they lost Wade. I understand. They still got Dragic. And they still got Whiteside. Justice Winslow should be better. More opportunities for him. And they got the $50 million man, Tyler Johnson. He's got to come out here and get buckets, right? That's eight teams. That's eight teams. Washington. Forgot them. John Wall, Bradley Beal. They're always in the mix for a playoff spot. They're always hovering. That's nine teams. Now, look, we know Brooklyn is not in the mix. We understand this. We get this. So that's nine teams off top. And about five to six of those teams that you can make an argument for being better than the Knicks. So right there, that tells me Knicks are fighting for the seventh seed, bruh. With D-Rose, Joakim Noah, my man, my Mello Carmelo, Latvian World Star, and Courtney Lee. Oh, yeah, B. Jennings, 1 year, $5 million off the bench. Fighting for a seventh seed. And that's if it works. What if it doesn't work? What if Hornacek gets exposed? What if Derek gets hurt again? What if Joakim Noah's plantar fasciitis sparks up again? What if Latvian World Star gets hurt? A lot of what ifs, right? Seven seed for the Knicks. But they're a super team, right? Right. So we had a couple of retirements. One recently and one a few weeks ago. Tim Duncan retired. Major, major impact on the game, obviously. Top 10 to 15 player of all time. I don't have him as high up as other people, but top 10 to 15 of all time. Top 10 big man of all time. And for me, one of the most comfortable pair of kicks ever. If you ever see those white and gray flights that he had with Nike, I ran those joints into the ground for at least a decade. At least. Those joints was mad comfortable. I got a lot of buckets in those kicks. I took a lot of cats to the cup. I put a lot of threes in dude's eye, a la Kyrie over Steph. I did a lot of that in those Dunkins. So just off the respect of that, you know, those shoes, to me, exemplify Tim Duncan's career. They had the longevity. They lasted me over a decade, and I put a lot of miles on those kicks. They were comfortable. They were durable, and they got me where I needed to be. And that's what Tim Duncan did. He came onto the court. He gave you what you needed every time out. There's only one time where I could think Tim Duncan let the Spurs down. And that was against Miami. What was that, 2013? He had that finger roll and he missed it. That was the first time ever I could say in a big spot, Tim Duncan let the Spurs down. He's obviously an immortal, all of that good stuff. But the one that fascinates me more, the retirement that fascinates me, is your boy Stat. Amari Stoudemire retires. Retires and Knicks signed a one-day contract. I never understood that. I mean, I don't really get why you have to go back to a team and sign for one day, then retire. If you want to retire, just retire. I don't think there's any lore that oh, Stoudemire retired as a Nick. I mean, to most people, to keep it a buck, he's going to be a son no matter what. He may want to be remembered as a Nick, but he's going to be a son, because Phoenix Sun Amari was when you got a guy who averaged 21-9 as a high school phenom. I mean, 8 years, 21-9, and had the type of highlights that would make your jaw drop. And I don't use that as hyperbole or as to appease you and give you sports cliches. There were times when Stat would go to the cup and dunk on somebody, or there would be a drop step, or just running the floor with sheer athleticism. The stuff that he could do on the basketball court as a man of that size, 6'10", that was amazing. And then he came to the Knicks, and he was going to be the savior. He was the $100 million man in the summer of LeBron, when the Knicks struck out, couldn't get LeBron, couldn't get Wade or Bosh or anybody to come. Stat was the one who said, I'll come to the Mecca. Just got to give me $100 mil. So he came to the Mecca. And as much as people want to laugh at the Stat Nick era, there was that first year, though. That first year, he got buckets. That first year, he looked like Phoenix Amari. Looked like an easy transition. Same Amari, just a different uniform. I mean, he only missed 4 games that year. We talk about how he was an oft-injured Nick. Not that first year. That first year, 25-8. That was his second highest ever scoring total, including the Phoenix years. 25-8. His assist numbers, the most assists he's ever put up in his career, averaging 3 dimes. The most blocks he's ever averaged, averaging 2 blocks. And the most shots ever he's attempted in 19. But he shot over 50% from the floor. I mean, Amari, that first year, was out to prove that doubters wrong. They didn't want Stat. Knicks fans did not want Stat. They kill him now. They make jokes about him now. But when they signed him to that 6-year, 100 mil, they didn't want him. Wait, was it 6 years? It might not have been 6 years. But he signed 100 mil. 100 million. Now they were like, Amari, a hunt. We thought we were getting LeBron. Knicks fans were being taunted by LeBron. Much respect to the Knicks fans. You have to keep an open mind if you're a Knicks fan. Those are direct quotes from LeBron leading up to the summer of LeBron. Teasing the Knicks fans like, I might come in, sure. He gave off that vibe. That's all the Knicks fans needed. They had 23 in the rafters already. And then he skated to South Beach with Wade and Bosh as the only one left. The only other big marquee name and the only other big fish was Amari, was Stat, the creator of what I think is the greatest nicknames of all time, Knicks Tape. Knicks Tape, Knicks Tape, Knicks Tape. I think Knicks Tape is dope. I use it mockingly on Twitter whenever there's a former Knick doing something, or whether the Knicks have a low light, put Knicks Tape on it. Do it one time. You just feel better doing it. But that was a real thing. Knicks Tape. I think I got my cousin as a birthday gift. She's a Knicks fan. I got her a shirt. I got a guy who does shirts, hooks it up. Knicks Tape on the front. She rocked that joint. Big in the hood for 1 year. So for that 1 year, that 2010-2011 year, 25-8 for Stat. And then it just went all downhill. Then the injuries came, the knee came, the alleged problems between him and Melo, cohesiveness on the court came, all that stuff, and it flamed out. But for that 9-year run, the 8 years in Phoenix, in 1 year, that first year here in New York, Stoudemire was an absolute beast. I mean, for a kid straight out of high school to do what he could do and to do it in the league for 9 years, amazing. I mean, go back and look at the dunk contest, Amari. Him and Nash, the soccer stuff that they did. Dope. The dunks that he had on people. Look up Stoudemire over Oliver Candy. And just watch that a couple times. And I think he was like young in the league. Might have been his first 2-3 years in the league when he did that. Young, fresh legs, Amari. 20, 22-year-old Amari. Ridiculous. So one high school phenom exits in Amari. And one who probably would have been a high school phenom, Ben Simmons, enters the league. We got Ben Simmons, number one overall pick. I watched him in Summer League. I watched him in the Utah Summer League. Saw a little bit. It was only a couple of games. The Vegas Summer League, though, that's where we got to really hone in and see what Ben Simmons could do. Now, we know what type of passer he is. He's a phenomenal passer. He's a great passer. He showed that at LSU. He also showed at LSU how bad of a coach that dude at LSU is to have a guy as good as Ben Simmons and you can't even make the NCAA tournament. But if you watched LSU's games, and I forced myself to sit and watch a couple of those games because you see the hype machine behind Ben Simmons, like, all right, I'll sit through the dreck that is LSU basketball just to watch Ben Simmons try to do something. I mean, Ben Simmons will be dropping damn near triple-doubles and the team will still be getting blown out by 30. 30! Now when he gets drafted by Philly, you're thinking, oh, pretty much he's going to have to be the same type of experience. He's going to be in the league putting up big numbers and his team's going to be getting blown out by double digits, right? I mean, the Sixers are still trash, right? I mean, there's going to be nobody there to help him. I mean, Jahlil Okafor, Ja, has been off the mix. You know, if you listen to the analytic people, if you listen to the plus minuses, they're worse when he's on the court. That would be a problem, right? Especially as a top pick. And then you got Noel, who has definitely improved his game. I mean, if you look at the four draft picks and rank them in terms of effectiveness, Noel's got to be at least number two. Can't be no lower than that. I mean, you got Simmons, who I think will be the best of the bunch. They have Noel because he's been healthy enough and has actually played. Then you got Ja, who had an up and down rookie year. The numbers lie to you, but if you watch the games, he was up and down. And then you listen to that. If you listen to the analytics, he was horrible when he was on the court. The team performed horribly when he was on the court getting his empty stats. But there's Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid, who I always thought was going to be the crown jewel. Joel Embiid is finally healthy. And I do that with air quotes. I'm putting the double P sign up. Healthy. If Joel Embiid can go out here and be 85% of what I thought he was going to be, Philly's in the playoffs. Yeah, I said that. If Joel Embiid can just be 85% of what I thought he was going to be, Philly's in the playoffs. Because Embiid only dropped as low as he did because he had that back injury at Kansas. If he wasn't hurt, he was going to be number one overall. He gets hurt, he drops to, I believe it was number three. Philly scooped him up. Then he got hurt. Then last year, wasn't fully healthy. Then had to have another surgery to fix the first surgery. So he was out last year. If Joel is finally healthy, he's going to get buckets in the paint, and he's a stretch four. Problem is, what the hell do you do with Okafor? Because are they ballsy enough to put Ben Simmons at the point and leave him alone? He did it in Summer League. He ran point. He was dropping dimes. He had 5.5 assists out there in Summer League in Vegas. 5.5, so we round up 6 assists, 8 rebounds, and it's still in a half. But dog, you want to know what shooting percentage is? Which is and was and always will be the biggest knock on Ben Simmons? 40%. 40%. 18 of 44. And the numbers were worse at one point. Numbers were worse than 40%. He was shooting sub 30% at one point. So he got hot late in summer league to push up the 40. 18 of 44. So 12 points a game. 8 boards, 6 assists from Ben Simmons. And that was with him monitoring his minutes. I mean, he only played 30 minutes a game. So Ben Simmons, if they leave him at point, just let him be Magic Simmons. Be Magic Simmons. Fine. Put him out there. Now you got to figure something out with Ja. If you play Ja, I mean, you can't have 3 7-footers out there.
Right?
You can't have 3 7-footers out there. I don't think Philly is that crazy to trot out Ja, Noel, and then Embiid. So Embiid will probably come off the bench. He's not healthy enough to start. He's not NBA game shape ready enough to start anyway. And plus, he hasn't really merited it. So you have Embiid off the bench. So that kind of makes it a little bit easier. So then you have Noel and Ja down low. So now you got Ben Simmons, who likes to create and drive to either shooters or guys cutting to the rim. Who's going to do that for Philly? I mean, I'll look up this Philly. I don't know who the projected Philly roster is. I mean, who's their two? Who's their three? Is Covington still there? Let me pull this up. All right, so Covington is still on the roster. I mean, TJ McConnell, I mean, he's a point, so he can't run. I mean, Gerald Henderson? Man. I mean, Bayless? Did Saric sign? Is he officially over here? Stauskas? Thompson? I mean, I don't know who you bring. I don't know who your starting lineup is. I mean, but if you have Noel, if you continue to go with Noel and Ja, and you have Embiid off the bench as your first big off the bench, and you leave Simmons alone at the point, you probably go Gerald Henderson at the two. I would say off merit, Covington should be the three. So now Covington could shoot a little bit, and he can attack the rim. So Ben could dish it off to him. Henderson has improved his three-point shooting, but not a lot. He's still more of a slasher. So he could do a few things with him. But, you know, Ja's a black hole. Ben gives that ball to Ja. He's not getting it back no time soon anyway, unless the shot clock's running down. And Noel's not good enough to give the ball to and expect him to do something with it. Like, Ben's going to have to set up Noel. So he needs more help. And I think Embiid will be that, but not right away. Halfway through the season, they need to get Ja up out of there. If Embiid is what I think he's going to be, they need to get Ja up out of there and then let Embiid flourish with Noel. Now, if you give me Simmons, Noel, Embiid, and then Covington and Henderson, that's in the mix for you know, 7-8 seed. So they can make that big of enough. If Simmons is what we think he is and what he showed flashes of in the Vegas Summer League and in the Utah Summer League, then I definitely think Philly could be in the mix for a 7-8 seed. Let's just be clear. 7-8 seed, which means they're peaking at either 500 or worse. A couple games over 500, which I think they would throw a parade for that team if they were able to be that. From as far down as they've come, if this team could get to 30 wins, 35, 40 wins, I think they should throw him a parade. But the talent's finally there. The process has finally worked out. Shout out to Hinkie. But as we bring things to a close here, I just want to get into a couple of quick things. Man, how bad is this Brooklyn Net roster? Have you looked at the Brooklyn Net roster? We're going to play this game. Do you know who this guy is? All right. Justin Hamilton. I don't know who that is. Joe Harris. I don't know who that is. Sean Kilpatrick. I vaguely know who that is. Shane Larkin. If it wasn't for me living here in New York, I wouldn't know who that is. Chris McCullough. No idea who that is. Henry Sims. If it wasn't for the fact that I'm a big town Georgetown fan, Hoya Saxa, I wouldn't know who Henry Sims is. Markel Brown. I vaguely know who that is. Anthony Bennett. We all know who that is. And not for a good reason. Jeremy Lin. Luis Scola. Grievous Vasquez. I mean, they're surrounding Brook Lopez with literally like a bunch of dudes. Like, I think I could go to a couple of playgrounds out in Woodmere, Long Island, where I used to ball at heavily. Out on the block, American Springfield. Like, I think I could find a couple dudes. Like, I could literally get a couple of dudes equal to what the Brooklyn Nets are paying guys millions to do to surround Brook Lopez. I mean, right now, Jeremy Lin, Luis Scola. I can't give you the... I'm trying to figure out who's going to start for the Nets. You got Brook at the five, right? Scola at the four? He's old, man. They got Thomas Robinson on this roster. Maybe you put Thomas Robinson at the four. So Thomas Robinson, Brook Lopez, Jeremy Lin at the point. Who's the two guard? Grievous Vasquez? Randy Foy. They got Randy Foy. Randy Foy at the two. Who's the three? RHJ, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. Oh, man. How many wins are the Nets going to get this year? If I told you 22 wins over under, I'm setting the line. I don't know what Vegas set the line at. Let me see. Okay, so I just researched a couple sites real quick. And, man, 22 is a high number. People are really down on these Nets. I'm like, I know they're trash, but damn. I saw as low as 18. I saw as high as 21. So I was actually a little high with 22 over under. I mean, ESPN had them at 20. There's a couple other blogs that had them at 18, 19. So if I gave you, let's go 19. We'll stick with that. 19 wins over under. For the Brooklyn Nets. Where are you going? I mean, dog, if Brook Lopez gets hurt, I mean, imagine that. Like, what are they going to do? Even if Lin gets hurt, what are they going to do? Dog. Man, that's 19. 19 is so low, though. Ah. I think they can get to 20, man. I mean, look, I think they can get to 20. If nobody gets hurt. Nobody. Like, nobody can miss a game ever. If nobody misses a game ever, I think they're good for 20 wins. Damn, boy. It was all good just 3 years ago. All right, so yeah, we are wrapping it up. Shout out to Karl Anthony Towns for dunking on children and swatting their shots. I think that is a life lesson that every child must go through. I wanted to squeeze that in here. Yeah, if you haven't seen, I'm sure most of you have probably seen it. But if not, you can Google it real quick. Karl Anthony Towns has a camp, and he's out there throwing kids' shots into the bleachers and dunking on them from the free throw line. And those are life lessons. You need to be humbled as a child to know where you stand. Because a lot of times as a kid, you're lied to and you're made to be better than what you really are. Karl Anthony Towns ain't hearing none of that. Karl Anthony Towns says, I am 7 foot and I'm going to show you all 7 of these feet as I chuck your little meaningless two-handed shot into the third row of the bleachers. And dog, he took off from the dotted circle on the kid. How great is that? Imagine being 7 feet tall and there's like a kid that's 5'3 max trying to jump with you and you're 7 foot. Karl Anthony Towns single-handedly raising children across the world. Also, shout out to DeMar DeRozan. If he would have made that dunk, and you know what dunk I'm talking about, it's now become the dunk, even though it was a missed dunk. if he would have made the dunk, that would have been... It's not better than Vince. That's the only dunk I could say is still better than that. I mean, dog, he took off the audacity to take off and do a 360 on a dude. I mean, normally you just cock it back, two hands, whatever. He decided to do a 360 on a Chinaman. Oh, I wish he would have made it. I mean, Durant and Boogie's reaction on the bench was classic. I mean, Durant got a technical for a missed dunk. He came off the bench for a missed dunk. That's how good it was. His excitement, even though it was a missed dunk, he still went out there onto the court. That's and-one type. So that will wrap it up for me. I am Sam Duesenberg. You are listening to the Pick and Pop Podcast on SoundCloud.com, iTunes, and ChillFreeSports.com. I will check back in as we get closer to training camp. If there's any news or stuff that breaks or stuff that's interesting, may not be as long as this pod, but I will be checking in periodically here in the off season. Thank you for listening as always, and I'll talk to you soon.